Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the sixth wide line. The pasuk in Megillah says, "Vayives be'enav l'shloich yad b'mardechai levadoi." Haman decided to do damage to Mardechai himself. Says the Gemara, "Amar Rava, betchilah Mardechai levadoi." First, Haman intended just to do damage and destroy Mardechai. L'psayf ba'am Mardechai. Then his plan was to go further and do damage, destroy the nation of Mordechai, who are the people of Mordechai, the Rabbanon, Manu Rabbanon, the people who learn. Then ultimately his plan was to go on and destroy all the Yehidim, all the Jews. So Mepharshim explained, what was Haman doing? So some Mepharshim explained that Yaakov explains that he had a very simple approach. He wanted to see if he could be successful. So he started slow, and he said, "Let me do damage to Mordechai. If I'll be successful with that, I'll go a step further, and I'll go to Rabbonin. And if I'll be even more successful, I'll try to go to everyone else." The other Mepharshim explained, what really bothered Haman is we know that he could not accept the fact that Mordechai refused to bow down to him. So his intention was to get, and once Mordechai wasn't bowing down, other people weren't bowing down. So he figured first he would destroy Mordechai. That would perhaps influence people to start bowing down to him. If that won't work, then I'll destroy the Rabbanon. If that won't work, he will destroy all of Klal Yisrael. But the Inyakov, of course, goes a step further and says, we see Mida Keneged Mida, that first, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid back, so to speak, Haman was killed, and then after Haman was killed, all of his children were killed, and after all of his children were killed, then anybody who wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, do damage to Klal Yisrael, was killed. So that was the Mida Keneged Mida when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for us the Nes. Continues the Megillah. The Megillah teaches us Hippel Pur Hu Agarol. Haman cast a gairel. Tana, kima shenafel pur b'chaydish adar. Once the gairel fell in chaydish adar, samach simcha gedayli, he was very happy. Om enafli pur b'yarach shemes b'moshe. The gairel came out in the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. V'lohu yoydeya. However, he wasn't able to understand shebeshiva b'adam meis, that although Moshe Rabbeinu passed away in shiva b'adam, however, b'shiva ba'adah noilad. He was also born on shiva ba'adah. So Rashi explains that how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu died on shiva ba'adah? Because the pasuk says that after they finished mourning Moshe Rabbeinu for 30 days, they were then told that in 3 days they will cross the Yarden and enter Yisrael. And they did cross the Yarden on 10 days of Nisan. So we deduct 33 days from 10 of Nisan, we end up with Zayin Adar. So the Mepharshim firstly ask, how did Haman know that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zayin Adar, but he wasn't aware that he was born on Zayin Adar? So some explain quite simply, the Shem Aryeh explains, because on Zayin Adar, every year Klal Yisrael used to fast to commemorate the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's how he knew. However, they didn't do anything for Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday, so he had no way of understanding that that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu also was born. Farshim asked, the bottom line is that it is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So it is a day that is not a good day in our history. So why is it just because he also was born doesn't make it better? So the Mitzvah Eisen quotes a Yerushalmi. He says that as we know, as we see in the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the same day that he was born. A person who dies on the same day he was born is obviously it's not just a coincidence that he is born and passes away on that day. It just proves that everything is under the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, since it's under the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his Hashgacha Pratis, watches over Klal Yisrael, and nothing can happen to us. The Mefarshim ask, why wasn't he satisfied with the fact, like a month of Cheshvan, in which Sarai Menu died? So Mefarshim explain that everyone else who passes away leaves over a person who could replace him. Sarah, the mosque that replaced her. But Moshe Rabbeinu was a person that nobody, like, come Navi, I be Yisrael, come Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi that was never replaced on that Madrega. And therefore, he was particularly happy. I saw Pshat al Pidrush that the Yoda, Yoim Shemes by Moshe, was also Yoim Shenoilet, is that a guy like Haman was not able to recognize that a person in this world could come to a tachlis. Yoim Shemes by Moshe, the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, was Yoim Shabai Noilet. He came to the world, he was born with a goal, and he achieved his goal. That was what was great about Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why his chutz was what saved us. First, I should point out, from here we see that the Goyrel came out on Zayin Adar. That means the bris of Moshe Rabbeinu was on Yudalad Adar. Purim, which we celebrate on Yudalad Adar, is also the day of Moshe Rabbeinu passed. It's also the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's bris. Continues the Gemara. Haman said to Achashverus, Yeshna Am Echad, there's a certain nation. So, as Rashi explains, a lot of what the Gemara is going to have here as the dialogue between Achashverus and Haman really is not stated in the Megillah, but really we can understand. Amar Rava, Leka the Yoda Lishna Bishna Kahaman. There's no one that knows Lashon Hara as much as Haman. Amalei Tanach Linu. Haman said to Achashverus, let's destroy the Jews. Amalei Mr. Fina Melakov, I'm scared of their God. That he shouldn't do to me like he did to my predecessors when they tried to destroy the Jews. Some say they're negligent from the mitzvahs, they've gone away from the mitzvahs, or that they're sleeping from the mitzvahs. And since they're sleeping from the mitzvahs, there's nothing to worry about. So Astach Sam Seifer, the fact that Klal Yisrael isn't observing the mitzvahs, it makes a difference to Achashverosh. Says the Sam Sofer that even Achashverosh recognized that as long as Klal Yisrael are Shoyma Torah Mitzvahs, they are protected. And as soon as they stop being Shoyma Torah Mitzvahs, they are in danger. The Ben Yoyada takes this concept a step further. He says that Achashverosh recognized that what gives us protection is that when we're in Eretz Yisrael and we bring the kabbonis and we do the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz. But now Achashverosh realized, Haman was telling Achashverosh, they're no longer in Eretz Yisrael and they're no longer able to be mekayim those mitzvahs, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. What Achashverosh didn't recognize is that even in Chutz La'aretz, when we learn the halachas of the kabbonis, and when we learn the halachas of the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, they can protect us. Amalei amachahein. So amalei. So Achashverosh said, but isper rabbanon, aren't there a rabbanon between them that protect them? Amalei amachahein. They're one nation, and like most mafarshim explained, the Sfasemis explains that since they call Yisrael a raven zebazeh, therefore they, even if there are people who are acting properly, they're responsible for the people who are acting improperly. Others explain that if what Haman was saying was that if they would properly respect the Rabbanon, you would be right. But they don't respect the Rabbanon. So the fact that there are Rabbanon amongst them doesn't make a difference. I'm like, I'm Acherhein. So Haman said to the Achshesh, the one nation, Shem Tamer. So Haman continues, Shem Tamer Karch Ani Oisav Malchuska. By killing out the Jews, I'm making a bald spot in your kingdom that I will eradicate one whole unit. So he says, Mufuzarim Hemei Maramim. They're scattered about the entire country, and since they're scattered about the entire country, they won't be so recognizable. Shem Tamer is Hanominayu. Maybe you could say that we as a nation benefit from their being amongst us. Mufurad, he said they're Mufurad. Kapre de Zu, they're just like a mule. Shainai Saperis, a mule doesn't give off children, doesn't have offspring. So too, Klal Yisrael is not cause us any benefit. Maybe there's a small country of Jews that you don't want to destroy your entire country. They're spread out all over, and since they're spread out all over, it won't be any difference if they are able, if we destroy them. And the Chasam Sofer, following his approach, explains that what Haman was saying was that Jews are all over the country, and since they're all over the country, they are, and they're not acting properly, and when they're not acting properly, we have to be concerned about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's wrath against them, and since they live everywhere they live is now in danger. The Menais Halevi explains that there are three reasons why a king would not want to eradicate an entire nation. Maybe other countries will come to help them. Another reason is that they're going to get up in self-defense. And a third reason is that maybe there are other countries, maybe there are other countries that they live in, and since they live in other countries, you won't accomplish anything. That was what Haman was telling Achashverosh. You don't have to worry about other nations helping the Jews, because they're mefuzo mefurid. They are separated from all other countries, and therefore no other country will save them. You don't have to worry about them getting together and standing up for self-defense, because they too are scattered b'chol medinos. And you don't have to worry about other countries that they're in, because k'dasem shoynos, wherever they are, they're hated. Continues the Gemara, Mikol Am, they're different than everybody else. V'loy achli minon, they don't eat from our food. V'loy nas minon, they don't intermarry with us. V'loy nas milon, they don't marry our women, and they do not marry their women to us. V'stoseh ha-melech enim oisam, and they don't observe the king's laws. The mafkil kulashati, they spend the entire year b'shiipi. So most mafarshim explain b'shiipi means Shabbos hayoyim, Pesach hayoyim. But the mafarshim all discuss what does Shabbos hayoyim and Pesach hayoyim mean. So the pshat that I saw from the Noam Alimelech is Shabbos hayoyim, Pesach hayoyim, is that Jews not only do mitzvahs, but they spend their entire time preparing to do mitzvahs. And therefore, the two mitzvahs that represent that the most are Shabbos and Pesach. A Jew spends the entire week getting ready for Shabbos. And we know that Pesach is a yontif that we are busy preparing for an entire year, making matzahs, cleaning the house, etc. And hachonah for a mitzvah is just as important as the mitzvah itself. And that's why those are the mitzvahs that help us, but they didn't realize that those are the mitzvahs that was what Haman was bothered with most. The Pnei Menachem explains, Shabbos Hayoyim, Pesach Hayoyim, are the mitzvahs that show how we're separate from them. How does it show that we're separate from them? Because Aloch is a goy, sheshavas, it's a goy, participates in Shabbos Chayiv Misa. Another and Pesach, that a guy ben Oral lo yoichel boy, the law is that a guy is not allowed to eat from the Karmen Pesach. Others explain that the Shabbos Hayoyim and Pesach, the Shi and P does not mean Shabbos and Pesach. Shi means Shavuos Hayoyim and Pesach Hayoyim. That the effects of Shavuos, of Kabbalah HaTorah, and the effects of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though they happened so many thousands of years ago, are still felt by us after all these years, and that's what Haman was saying, that's why they're separate from us. Well, the Melech ain shava lahanicham. It's not worth for the king to keep them. Da'ochlu v'shasu, they eat and drink, u'mavazlei l'malchus, and they embarrass the kingdom. Filu noifel zvuz, because shalach mehen, because even if a fly falls into the cup of water them, zarka v'shesehu, he just spills it out and continues to eat, drink from the cup. And the Pais can say, based on this Gemara, that the halacha is that if a fly even falls into a cup that has hot liquid, if one wants to, he could just remove the fly and continue eating from the drinking from the cup. Aye, that fly is something which is not kosher, and by falling into a hot liquid, it gives off, it expels tam, and it should prohibit the beverage. So the answer given is that since the fly is a nois and tam lebgam, it gives off a bad taste, and nois and tam lebgam does not prohibit the liquid in the cup, certainly if the beverage in the cup is cold. Vim Adonai HaMelech nois b'kosh shlachem hen, but we know if the king, who's non-Jewish, touches their cup, choyt v'karkoi, he throws it onto the ground, v'enish yaseyu. What's pshat that he throws it on the ground? Because we know that earthenware has no way that we could kasher it, only through breaking it. So he throws it on the ground to break it. Continues Haman, im HaMelech toif, if the king seems fit, yikosav l'abdom, he should write a letter to destroy them, v'seres alof n'kikar kesev, and the 10,000 silver pieces. Amr shlokish, golav yedulaf nimisha amavaya olam. It was well known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'osad Haman lishkol shekolim ha'Yisrael, that Haman will go and give shkolim to destroy Klal Yisrael. V'fika chigdim shkelehem lishkolim. That's why halach is that we give shkolim before his shkolim. Vayda tanan, and that's what we learned in the Mishnah in Masech to shkolim. Bech ba'adar, already in Rosh Chodesh Adar, mashmiyim, we announce our shkolim, that everybody has to prepare to give the shkolim, because the halach is that every Jew has to give a machtzis hashekel, and by giving a machtzis hashekel, they, so that they should all be in place before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, when on Rosh Chodesh Nissan we start using the new Machzah Shekel for Kabonis, Valakloyim, the halacha is that since on Rosh Chodesh Adar is when the new crops start to emerge, and we could see if there's any Kloyim, if there's any mixtures in them that we have to remove, so we make that announcement Rosh Chodesh Adar. So that's why the halacha is Golav Yedua, so also Lishkel Shkleim, Buflein Shkolov, that we have to give our Shkolov before his. Farshim point out that we, the Yalki Gershuni explains, that we know that the Shkolov we give is a Machtzis Shekel, a half a shekel. What's Pshat, a half a shekel? We're Haman, because it represents Achtus, that no one Jew is whole, we're all combined, each one of us giving a Machtzis Shekel. What Haman was saying was that we're Am Echad Mefuzum Meforid, we're scattered about. There is no Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. So by giving the Machtzis HaShekel, we show that that is not true, that there is Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. And that's why the halacha is that we give the Machtzis HaShekel before Purim. And in fact, I saw that the Svarim say that now that we are unfortunately unable to actually give the real Machtzis HaShekel, because we don't have the base of Mikdash. So it says, V'hainu l'tanan. The Gemara is saying, if we can't be Mekayim Machtzis HaShekel actually by giving it, the Tanan, we can be Mekayim Machtzis HaShekel through the Tanan learning al Ashkolim about the Halacha Machtzis HaShekel. I saw from the Klausim of the Rebbe another reason why we should give Machtzis HaShekel before Purim, is that one should not get confused and think that by giving Machtzis HaShekel he's Mekayim Mitzvah Matanos L'Avyoinim. So that's why he gives it before Purim, that he knows that he still has the obligation on Purim to give Matanos L'Avyoinim. There is also a shayla I saw in the Poskim, what actually in all the shuls we know that we give nowadays machzis shekel, what actually should be done with that machzis shekel money. The Minchas Halacha says that it should be sent to Yisrael, just like we know that in time of the Beis HaMikdash, from all over the world, particularly from all over Eretz Yisrael, as we learned the Masechet Shkolim, they sent the Shkolim to Eretz Yisrael. Here too, we should send the money to support people, poor people, or people who need, who are learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So Yom HaMelech LaHaman, HaKesev Nosun Loch, the money is given to you, V'am Lasis Ketoy V'Necha, and with the people you could do as you please. Amar Ab Abba, Moshad HaKeshverish V'ham L'ma'a Dovedoyma. The Marshal, how can we understand the story of Achashverosh and Haman? It's l'shnei b'nei Adam. It's like to two people. Lecha l'hayolay tel b'toch sadehu. One had a mound of dirt in his field. Lecha hayolay charitz b'toch sadehu. Another one had a ditch in his field. Bal charitz amar. The person who had the ditch said, "Miyitin li tel zeh b'damim. Who would give me this mound for payment so I could fill my ditch?" Who would give me the ditch for money so I could get rid of this mound and put it into that ditch? A couple of days later, they meet each other. The owner of the ditch said to the owner of the mound, "Sell me your mound. Take it for free, and just halavai would so that I don't have to worry about it." Similarly, Achashverosh and Haman both had the same goal of eradicating the Jews. Mefarshim explain that this marshal of Achashverosh and Haman really speak to the heart of a fundamental question of in learning the Megillah. As we start learning the Megillah now, we see that Achashverosh and Haman were equals. They both despised the Jews and wanted to destroy them. Why is at the end of the Megillah Haman and his family hung and destroyed, and Achashverosh survives? So the Mefarshim explained, Achashverosh looked at the Jews like a tell. He recognized that there was something high, that there was something special. He felt that they were superfluous, but there wasn't something that he despised them inherently for. On the other hand, Haman looked at the Jews as a ditch. And like the Mefarshim explained, Haman, being from a descendant of Amalek, a descendant of Esav, and we remember what the pasuk says on Oim El Oim Yamatz, that Yaakov and Esav, either one will prevail over the other. He saw, Klai saw something that he can't survive if they're in a position, and therefore his hatred was much deeper, and that's why he deserved a much deeper punishment. The Sefer Ben Yoyada explains this with a marshal. He says there were once two people who kidnapped the king's son, and they intended together to kill him. However, there was a debate amongst these two people what to do. One person said, "He's the king's son, and even in killing him, we have to treat him with respect." The other one said, "On the contrary, my hatred to the king is so great that not only do I want to kill his son, I want to torture him in killing him." And while they're having this debate, the king appears and is able to save his son. Says the Ben Yoyada, that's Achashverosh and Haman. Achashverosh realized that with all of his hatred and all of his plans to destroy the Jews, there was still a tail. There was still something important. On the other hand, Haman looked at them as a ditch with such hatred, and that's why Haman deserved so much more of a punishment. Continues the Megillah, V'yosa HaMelech HaStabatoi, the king removed his ring, Amar Rab Abba Bakahana, G'doyla HaSorah Tabaz, greater is the taking off of the ring from Haman, from the king Achashverosh to give to Haman, Yois Ba'abon V'shmoyna Nevi'im, V'shev Nevi'im Shnitznabalan L'Yisrael. More than the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'ois that said Nevu'ah for Klal Yisrael. Shekul la'yachzir al-mutav, all that were not able to make us do tshuva. Vila hasaras tabat ha'chzir al-mutav. Taking off the ring did cause us to do tshuva. So the Farshim explain why was the taking off the ring so powerful. So the Pashup Pshat, as we know, is that once the king signs a decree, that decree becomes permanent. And the Farshim take it a step further. Given that Haman recognized that Achashverosh, as we've learned earlier, was somewhat of a moody person and could change his mind. So he was concerned that Achashverosh may change his mind on this also. So Achashverosh gave Haman the ring, that he's not going to have any more power over the ring. He's giving it to Haman so he won't be concerned that he should change his mind. That's why it got Klal Yisrael concerned. Another shot that I saw is that usually when one sells something to someone else, so it's the buyer who gives a guarantee to the seller. Here we find that the seller, Achashverosh, who was the king, gave the ring to the buyer. When the seller is giving the ring to the buyer, such an extraordinary event, which shows how deep the hatred was and how serious he was about this decree, that's what got Klal Yisrael concerned. Tan Rabban, Abam Shman Neviim, V'Shev Neviis Nistablam Yisrael, 48 Neviim and 7 Neviis said Nevu for Yisrael, V'Lo Pichsu, and they did not detract, V'Lo Yisiru, and they did not add on Mashe Kosev Torah, and what it says in the Torah, Chutz Mikra Megillah, except for Mikra Megillah. So Rashi asks automatically, well, don't we have Chanukah, which is added in the Torah, that the Neviim, which is not in the Torah, and which we celebrate? So the Rashi explains that Chanukah was established after the time of the Nevi'im, and that's not what the Gemara is speaking about. We're speaking about Yom Tovim or other rules that were established while there was still the Nevi'im were active. Another question which the Rishonim discuss, that we know that there are many dinim that were established by Chazal. They go back to the time of Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was Mesakan Erevin. Shlomo Melech was Mesakan Netilas Shadayim. So Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim explain, that all of those rules are not new Yom Tovim or new rules. They're just here to protect what is written in the Torah. Netilas Shadayim, for example, protects the halachas of Tuman Tahara. Erevin protects the halachas of not being allowed to carry on Shabbos. Mikra Megillah, on the other hand, is something that's completely new, and that was something unique versus everything else till that time. And Mefarshim ask, here we're saying V'lo Yisiru, they didn't add besides Mikra Megillah, but it also says Lepichsu, they didn't detract. What is Mikra Megillah, or what did they do that detracts from the Torah? So Mefarshim say that since on Purim we're not allowed to say a hesped and we're not allowed to fast, that's like pichsu, they detracted from the Torah. Here's a day that we're not allowed to fast or say a hesped. Or some of Farshim say even deeper, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that loch is vatlin Talmud Torah v'avoida for Mikra Megillah. So they took away from Talmud Torah, they took away from avoida by establishing Mikra Megillah. Maidrash, how did they actually establish this? Amar b'chibar oven, amar b'shub ben karcha, umami abdus l'cheris. If when they went out from being servants to being free, Amrin and Shira, we said Shira, Amis Elchayim, Lekoshkeit. So certainly in the time of the Megillah, when they wanted to kill us, and then we were saved that we should be alive, we certainly should have a Yontif Purim. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Hal Naminema. If so, that's what Purim is all about, then we should even say Halal on Purim. Answer the Gemara, Lefisha Ein Oimim Halal Neshe B'Chutz Laretz. We don't say Halal on the Nes that takes place on Chutz Laretz. Purim took place in Shushan, in Persia, and we don't say Halal on Chutz Laretz. And the Mefarshim explained, because Chutz Laretz is not directly under the control, Kav Yochel, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He does it through Malachim, and therefore it's inappropriate to say Halal on a Nes that happened in Chutz Laretz. Mefarshim asks, Tori Evan asks a number of questions. The Gemara says that we say on the Pesach we went mi Abdus L'Cheiris. Ask the Tori Evan that didn't on Pesach we also go mi Misa L'Chayim. We were standing by the Yamsuf and we were saved. Moreover, he says, the Halal that we say on Yontif is not because of any particular miracle. It's actually because of the yontif itself. And he brings a beautiful proof, because we know that the halacha is that if not for the fact that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur were days that Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim are open, we would even say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what's the Gemara saying that we say Hallel on Pesach because we went Me'avdus L'Cheiris? We say Hallel on Pesach because Pesach is a Yontif. So Turi Evan answers, and actually this is a Shita that we've already brought from the Briskerov, that the Gemara here is not referring to the Hallel that we say on Yontif. It's referring to the special Hallel that we say on the first night of Pesach by the Seder, which represents our going out of Mitzrayim, which, as the Brisker Rav teaches us, is not a regular Hallel. It's a Shira, it's a song. And that's why the Gemara is able to ask, we say Hallel on the first night of Pesach, even though it's only from Avdus L'Cheiris. And it's not because of Yontem. Because for Yontem we say Hallel and Davening like we always say. So certainly we should establish a Yontiv like Purim. And this again, says the Stipler, helps us understand what the Brisker Rav says, why on Pesach by night, when we say Hallel at the Seder, we don't make a Bracha. Because this is not a regular Hallel, it's a Shira. And actually that's the word our Gemara uses. Umam Avdus L'Cheiris Amrinon Shira. It doesn't say Amrinon Hallel, because this is not a regular Hallel, it's a song representing our going out of Mitzrayim. Ask the Gemara, if you're saying that we don't say Hallel on the Nes that took place in Chutz La'aretz, Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Nes of Chutz La'aretz, Yitzis Mitzrayim was the Nes that took place in Chutz La'aretz, Heich Amrinon Shira, how do we say Shira on it? Kiritanya answers the Gemara, as we learned in the Braisa, actually Nechnesu Yisrael Aretz, before Klal Yisrael went into Yisrael, Hukshu Kol Aretz L'Mashira, Shira was allowed to be said in all countries. Mishenuchni Yisrael Aretz, but once Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Lehuchshu Kol Aretz L'Mashira, we can't say Shira on Nisim that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. So since Yitzis Mitzrayim, although it took place in Chutz La'aretz, took place before we entered Eretz Yisrael, so even though it took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're allowed to say Hallel. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman gives a different answer. Kriyosoi Zuhilula, our reading the Megillah is the same as saying Hallel. And this is the basis for the Sheet of the Me'iri, that if one is in a place where he doesn't have a Megillah on Purim, so he should say Hallel. Because the only reason we don't say Hallel is because we have the Megillah. If one doesn't have the Megillah, he should say Hallel instead. The Shari Tshuva, quoting this Me'iri, says we don't hold this way. He says once Chazal said that Kriyasa Zuhi Lula, that we say, we read the Megillah instead of Hallel, therefore, says the Shari Tshuva, Hallel never became a part of Purim. The Machesha says this is the basis for the halacha why one cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah through a woman reading the Megillah on his behalf. Because since in the Megillah we're learning that there are two components, one is the Kriyas Megillah and the other is the Hallel aspect, and a man can't be yoytze with the tefillah of a woman, that's why we cannot be mekayim mitzvahs Kriyas Megillah through a woman reading the Megillah. Rav Amar Bishlam HaHasam, in the time of the Megillah, in the time of Yitzis Mitzrayim, we're able to say Hallel Avdei Hashem, because V'loy Avdei Paroi, we now became the Avodim of Hashem, we're no longer the Avodim of Paroi. Al Hocha Hallel Avdei Hashem, do we say Hallel Avdei Hashem V'loy Avdei Achashverish? Akate Achashverish Avdei Achashverish, and we're still servants of Achashverish even though we were saved from death. Ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, so how do we say Hallel if we're now Avdei Achashverish? So we're not Avdei Paroi, but we are Avodim of other nations. So Farshim explained that what happened by Yitzis Mitzrayim was that we had a Gulas Aguf, we were physically freed, and we also had a Gulas HaNefesh, we were freed spiritually, that we're now Jews. That can never be taken away from us. So Hallel Avdei Hashem, that we became Avdei Hashem, that we were spiritually freed, that remains forever. But in the time of Achashverosh, we were already Jews. The only thing was a physical redemption, which wasn't complete. Ask the Gemara. Bein le Rava, bein le Rav Nachman, both according to the opinion of Rava and Rav Nachman, they hold that you should really say Hallel on a Nes, like Purim. V'tanya mishnichnas l'aretz l'hochshu kol haratzos l'mashira. Didn't we learn that once Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the only nisim we say Hallel for are for nisim that happened in Eretz Yisrael? So what's the question that we should be able to say Hallel for what happened in Persia? Answers the Gemara: Kivin shegalu. Once Klal Yisrael went into Golos, chazru l'chsherin rishon. They go back to the original status. And as Mefarshim explained, the reason, as we said earlier, Hallel is limited to nisim that take place in Eretz Yisrael is because Eretz Yisrael is where there's a special hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once Klal Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael and went into Golos, we know the pasuk says Imoy Anoichi B'tzara. Wherever we go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes along with us, and therefore Hallel should not be said. Therefore, Hallel could be said even on a nes that happened in Chutz La'aretz. Ask the Gemara, V'su Leka, are there no more than 48 Nevi'im? And Rashi lists all of them. V'ksivahi esh echad min ha'Rasayim Tzoyfim. There was a person from Rasayim Tzoyfim. This refers to Shmuel's father, Elkanah. And the Gemara says, what is the pshat of Rasayim Tzoyfim? Echad Masayim Tzoyfim, one of 200 Nevi'im, Shnestabalam Yisrael, that said Nevu'ah for Klal Yisrael. So you see that just in that time alone, there were 200 Nevi'im. So Masha asks, and why don't we ask from the 70 Nevi'im that lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Masha says, those 70 Nevi'im, we understand Moshe Rabbeinu asked for the Shivim Zakenim, not that they're independent Nevi'im. But the question here is, here we don't find that there's anything unusual about these Nevi'im, so we see there are many more than 48 Nevi'im. Answers the Gemara, Mir Tuvahava. There were many Nevi'im in the history of Klal Yisrael. Kitanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Habi Nevi'im Omdim L'Yisrael. Many Nevi'im were in Klal Yisrael in the generations. Keflayim Yoitz Mitzrayim, double the amount of the Jews who left Egypt. Al Nevu'ah Shehetzruch L'Doyrus, a Nevu'ah that's needed for future generations. Nechtava was recorded. V'Shloyotzrucha, which wasn't needed for future generations, like Nechtava was not recorded. V'Shmuba Nechmeni Amar, he says there's a different pshat from Mitzrayim Tzoyfim. Odnam, he was a person from two mountains that faced each other. Rav Chanan Amar, Odnam habob nei Odam, he came from people who stood at the height of the world. Who are they? Maninu bnei Kairach. They said bnei Kairach lemesu. The children of Kairach did not die. Tanim shen Rabbeinu, because they originally were part of Kairach's group who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, but then they realized that they had made a mistake and they did tshuva. And Mokim Nisbatzlam B'Gehenim, a place was set up for them in Gehenim, for Amdolav, and that's where they stood. And he was a descendant of these people. Shevin Nevi'is Maninu, who are the seven Nevi'is? Sori Miriam, Tavira, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, Esther. The Gemara will speak about each one of them. Sora, Dixiv, Avi Milka, Avi Yiska. Vamra of Yitzchak explained Yitzchak Zusara. Yitzchak Sara. Vlamin Nikrishma Yitzchak. Why is she called Yitzchak? She saw Chabaraya Kodesh. Because she saw she had Ruach HaKodesh. Shenema, as the Pasuk say, Kolash Atayim Alecha Sara Shema Bekoila. So as the Mashal explains, why doesn't it just say HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avram Kolash Atayim Alecha Sara Shema? Why does it say Bekoila? To represent that her Koil has something special, it's Nevuah. Everybody looked at her beauty. So Masha explains, if we already know from Yiska that she was a Nevi'ah, why do we often have to have the Pasuk? So he explains, since the Gemara explains that Yiska represents that she was beautiful, so we didn't want that her name should always remain Yiska, which has an aspect of just physical beauty which wasn't important to Sarah. So that's why the Pasuk calls her Sarah, and we use Shema B'Koyla to prove that she was a Nevi'ah. Miriam, how do we know that Miriam was a Nevi'ah? The Ksiva Tikach Miriam a Nevi'ah Chois Aaron. Miriam, who was a Nevi'ah, who was the sister of Aaron. Asked the Gemara, was she only the sister of Aaron? V'lai Chois Moshe, she was she not also the sister of Moshe? Or Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Chois Mestabaki She Chois Aaron. She already said Nevu'ah when she was the sister of Aaron. V'omeres, she said, Sidi Imi She Taylor Ben She Serves Yisrael. My mother will have a child who will be the savior of Klal Yisrael. and actually when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire house became full of light. Our father came and kissed her on the head. Your prophecy has been fulfilled. But when Moshe was thrown into the river, her father went and hit her. Where is your prophecy? He's thrown into the river. His sister stood from far to see, to know what will happen at the end, if a prophecy will be fulfilled and he will survive and actually ultimately save Klal Yisrael. My Eshes Lapidus. What does it mean, the wife of Lapidus? As the Mashal explains, if you mention someone as someone's wife, it must be someone we're all familiar with. We don't know who Lapidus is, that we should know who Devar is being his wife. She would make wicks for the Mishkan and Shelah. She sat under a palm tree. Why under a palm tree? Because of Tum, as the Mashal explains. Since there are many palm trees in Eretz Yisrael, by the Pasuk saying that she sat on the palm tree, it really doesn't tell us anything. So it must be that there's explanation in understanding that she sat under a palm tree. What does it mean that she sat under the palm tree? Because of Yichud. Because if two men came to her for the entire, she should be able to not be with two men alone. So Mefarshim asked, the halacha is that two men, there is no Isra Yichud. So why is the Gemara concerned about her being together with two men? So Farshim answer that the Mishnah teaches us in Pirkei Avos that when two people come to us to the Torah, until the Torah is finished, we should treat them as Rishoyim. So therefore, and Allah is by two men and a woman, if they're prutzim, there is an Isra Yichud. And that's why she had to sit under a palm tree that has no branch, that has no branches, and there is no concern for Yichud. Mefarshim also say that perhaps there's a question, how could a woman be a Shefetes? So the answer is that she wasn't really judging the Torah. She was just teaching Klal Yisrael Torah. And teaching Torah could be on a one-on-one basis, that someone comes alone to learn Torah, and that's why there was perhaps a concern of Yichud. The Paiskim also prove from this a question regarding Yichud. There is a shayla in Hilchos Yichud that if one is in a house that has a door, but the door is closed but not locked, is there an Issa Yichud? So here they want to prove that we see that there is a Issa Yichud, because here she was sitting outdoors. But so why couldn't she sit on the tree with branches, just be outdoors? Outdoors with branches just is certainly now worse than an unlocked door. So from here we could see the unlocked door is not a hetter for Hilchos Yichud. Halach l'mais, the Pesach can say that an unlocked door depends. If one will enter a room with unlocked door without knocking first, then it can be a hetter for Yichud. Otherwise, it isn't. Dover Acher, Matamazeh, Enloy Lev Echad, only has one heart because all the sap goes up through the trunk. Afisal Shabbat Sadah, Loy Hoyalem, El Lev Echad, Avim Shishmaim, they only had one heart for their Father in Heaven. Chana, we find that Chana is in the Vim of the Spal, Chana Vatayma, she said, Olo Tzlibi Bashem, I am, my heart rejoices with Shem, Roma Kani Bashem, my horn is exalted with Shem. Roma Kani Veloy Roma Pachi, my horn and not my flask. Because Dov v'shlemish nimshu b'keren, that were anointed with a horn, nimshu mechosin, their reign, the kingdom extended forever. Shal v'yevu shenimshu b'pach, only with a flask, and like the Mashal says, it's made out of earthenware, so it breaks, lo nimshu mechosin. The Gemara continues speaking about what Chana said. Ein kodesh k'Hashem k'ein b'ltecha. There's no one like Hashem, for there's no one besides you. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Menashe, atik b'techa ela v'loyscha. No one can survive you. Shloi k'midis ha'kodesh baruch k'midis ha'kodesh b'dom. We're not like Hashem. Midas Bas Vadom, Master Yadim Mavlam Aysad. What he makes outlives him. Av Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mavlam Master Yadav, he outlives what he makes. Vein Tzor Kalakenu, ain't Tzair Kalakenu. There's no artist like Hashem. Adam Tzor, Tzur Al Gav HaKaisel. If a person makes a figure on a wall, Vein Yochel Hat by Ruach Neshamin. He can't put into it breath, soul, Kervayim, Neimayim, internal parts, stomach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzad Tzur B'tach Tzura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a form inside a form. He forms a baby in its mother's womb. Umat by Ruach Neshama Kreivim B'nei Mayim. Avigail was a Neviah. The Pasuk speaks about Avigail's husband being Novel, who was a person that refused to help David, even though David was so in desperate need, and his people had helped him. She was riding on a donkey. He read this B'sei Sahar, and she was going down the mountain. B'sei Sahar, asked him, what did it say? B'sei Sahar, Minahamar Mibaylei. Om Rabbi Shmuel, Aliske Dam Abom Sam. She came to ask a question about Dam Nida that comes from a private place. Not La Dam Varesolai. She took Dam Nida to show him. Om Levichimaran Dam Balayla. Do we show Dam at night? Om Levichidon and Dernifeshes Balayla. Do we paskin if a person should be killed that he want, that David wanted to kill Novel for being a Mayer de Malchus? Omrala Mayer de Malchus, he is a Mayer de Malchus, like Tzarchel Medina. A trader doesn't have to have a regular, a dentira, all the regular halachas of a dentira. Omrala, so she responded, a dying Shol Kaim, Shol is still alive, and people aren't aware of your greatness that you're the Melech. Omlai Baruch Tamech. So he spent your reasoning is to be blessed. Obruch Atash Klusoni Hayom Ezem David Dami, that you held me back today from killing somebody. Domim, asked the Gemara. Domim is a Lashon Rabim. Tati Mashma means two types of blood. Amlam Shagilsa Shoika, she revealed her leg. V'holchel Oyer Givim Pasos, and he walked with that desire to three Pasos. Omlai Shmila, let's have relations. Amlai Sechia Zois L'chol Apuka, this should not be for you for stumbling block. I'm still married. Zois Mechlal Deka Achrita. Omai Niu, what was the other one? Maes de Beshava, the story of Beshava, which we know David didn't act perhaps as properly. Maskona Hakahavi, and that's what happened. V'hois Anoni Nafshit Tzura B'Tzor Achayim, should be bound with life. Ki Havim Mifter Minei, when she left him, Amalei, V'heit V'Hashem L'Adoini, V'Zuchartis Amosecha, you should remember me. Amrav Nachman Haidam Enshi. Itza Behadishusa. While a woman talks, Pilcha, she spins fiver. Ikad Amri, Shofa V'Oza Bar Avza. A goose walks, Ve'Nomitaif, and he looks far away. Here too, even though she didn't want to do the Aveira with David, she had in mind what the future has in mind, and actually, after David did kill Novel, they got married. Cholda, Dixaviel, Chilkiyo, Ha'Koin, Ve'ikon, Ve'achikon, Ve'achbar. That they came to Chulda because they had found Yeshiyahu, the descendant of Menashe, that was a tzaddik, and Chilkiyah had found the Sefer Torah. The set in the Sefer Torah was opened up to Techacha, where it says, Yoylech Oyschav Esmalkecha, that you and your king will be taken al-am ashlo yudata atav avasecha. So he went to ask Chulda, what does this mean? Asking Ramakam to call Yirmiyah, Heichem is Nabi Iyu. If Yirmiyah is alive, how could Chulda be asked? Because Chulda only started saying Nevius in the 18th year of Yeshiyahu, and Yirmiyah said at the 13th year. Amr Bei Rabbi Shmei the Rav, Chulda Krovis Yirmiyah's Oysa, she was a relative of Yirmiyah, V'lai Makrela, and he wasn't upset at her. Asking Rav Yeshiyahu, Gufe Heichishavik Yirmiyah, Mashad El Gaba, why did Yirmiyah go to Chulda, not to Yirmiyah? Amr Bei Rav Shila, Neshah Nosh Rachmanis, saying he knew that a woman has more Rachmanis, and if she'll hear such a Nevuah, she'll daven for Klaisol. Rav Yochanan, Yirmiyah, I have a Hosam. Yirmiyah wasn't there. Shaholach Lahach Sarah Shvatim. He went to bring back the Sarah Shvatim from Golos. Umnolan the Hadar, how do we know they indeed came back? The Ksiv Kam Moicher Elamemka La Yoshev. Because a seller should not return to the sale. Ef she yoiva bottle, is it possible that there's no longer noivel when it's namel of she bottle, and the novi says that novi that yoiva will become bottle because yoiva is only relevant when all of Klais was in a tzral and lamet she yirmi hechzir and yirmi brought them back. V'yashiyah b'mal amon malach aleim, and Yashiyah b'mal was the king over all of Klais. The Ksiv Ma'at Sin Halaz Asher Niroya V'yamel of Anchi Yakeve Ishal Kima Shabam Yehuda. Yikras Advarim Eila Shasisa Mizbech Beisel. It's the question of Chima Tiva Yeshiyah Mizbech Beisel. What was Yeshiyah doing in Beisel? Beisel is where Melch Yisrael were. He was a Melch Yehuda, and Melamet Yeshiyah Melch Aleim. Yeshiyah ruled over them. Nachra Mahacha Gam Yehuda Shasalcha B'Shvushvus Ami. When the people were returned, we see that the people were returned to the time of Yeshiyah. Esther, how do you know that Esther was in the Via? The Ksavihibi Yom Shvi Shlishi, Vatilbash Esther Balchus. As to my big day malchus, if he was putting on the garments of a queen, he should say big day malchus. El shalav shiruach hakodesh, he put on ruach hakodesh. Ksev hakav tilbash, ksev hasam veruach lofshes amasai. When amasai said to David, Shalom alecha.